Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements, and then when I'm through, we'll have a minute for mission. Just remind you that you can order Easter flowers. They're $7.75 a piece. You can read about that. If you'd like to get a message to me, you can fill out an I Wish card. The nursery is open every Sunday in the Christian Education Building through this door and the first door on your left when you go through in the nursery. The annual spring congregational meeting will be held today after worship, and we hope you can stay. Hopefully the meeting won't be too long, and we can conduct our business. We have two meetings a year, our stated meetings twice a year. Sometimes we have extra ones. Session council meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, April the 11th. Youth group will be meeting tonight from 6 to 7:30, McFadden Hall. Junior church, first three Sundays of each month. The deacons will be hosting Donut Sunday, April the 1st, Palm Sunday, that is next Sunday. So we look forward to that. One great hour of sharing will also be on Palm Sunday. You'll hear more about that. Adult Sunday School, 9:15 in the library, straight through here. And that's really an enjoyable class from what I hear from everyone. Any other announcements at this time? Yes, Carol? Next Sunday is the deadline for the Easter lilies and flowers. Kathy? Sign-up sheet for Vacation Bible School starting July 16th. We really need helpers and teachers. Any other announcements? For our luncheons, we need desserts. We kind of ran out last time. So we do need more desserts. Jay? Okay, no adult Sunday school for the next two Sundays. So take your rest and study up and be ready to come back and study. Anyone else? Okay, then our minute for mission. Michelle Teggy. Yeah.
But I'll use it anyway because I have such a soft-spoken voice. Good morning, family of Glenshaw. How are you? Remember, we're a family. That goes in with the minute of mission. As a member of the Session Council, I'm here to share with you some good news that today we are making an initial launch for our church teams. As you remember, we are now running a unicameral board Session Council, which is also broken into teams that, of course, we need your help with. Although we're a smaller church, it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of work that needs to be done here on a regular basis. We need this work to be continued to do the mission of our church to move forward. Our paid staff is small. It consists of Leonard, Mickey, our part-time secretary artist, and our part-time custodian Bill, and of course, our nursery workers on Sunday. So obviously, if it wasn't for us, the volunteers, the work of our church would be limited. So first, for all of you that have volunteered in the past and continue to volunteer today, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. So why am I here now? Of course, I'm here to ask you to volunteer again. By launching the teams, we are going to do this in five phases, and we're going to do it over the next 3 months. This way, Session has the opportunity to guide the newly launched teams. Our next team launch will be April 15th. Today, we are focusing on the two teams, Building and Grounds and Legal and Risk. As you can see in the bulletin, there are inserts. And these are suggested ways that you can volunteer and participate on the team. There's an opportunity for everyone to be on a team or multiple teams. It includes hands-on work, making phone calls, keeping records, writing documents. As we move forward with building our teams, we are calling on you, or all of us, as a family, to help move forward the mission of our church. You can begin today by contacting the team chair. Their contact information is on the bulletin insert, and it's also located on the bulletin board in the back. On the bulletin board are interest survey cards that could be filled out. So, with prayerful consideration, please search your heart and ask God, what skills, gifts, and talents has He given you to further help the mission of the church? If you're interested in buildings and grounds, please contact Clara. And if you're interested in the team of legal and risk, please contact me. We are really looking forward to your help and you volunteering to move forward in God's way.
Thank you. And Clara, raise your hand just if anyone doesn't know Clara. So thank you. And if I might just add one thing to this, we're going to the team concept as opposed to committee concept, so there will not be a lot of meetings. We're trying to get away with a lot of meetings and takes up people's time. A lot of things can be done on the phone, and you can do it, and then you can do the work that you enjoy doing. So if it sounds like something you like doing, you can approach one of these ladies hopefully you like doing it, and you'll stick with it, and we can get our work done for God. So thank you very much, and thank you for the minute for mission. At this time, if you haven't already done it, you'll sign your carrying book and any wish cards, name, address, any change of phone numbers or emails, that type of thing. We would appreciate it, and you can drop your sign-up sheet in the offering plate. I haven't been making that announcement very often, but you can do that. Make it easier for the deacons to gather it up. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise is Here I Am to Worship, and is a screen song, is our opening one today. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Seems a little out of sync, different, doesn't it? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you because you care about us. We praise you for the cross of salvation. We are forever thankful that Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for ours. Forgive us when we do not accept this wonderful gift. Forgive us for not growing in faith and love. Teach us how we can be more like our Lord. Help us to serve your church with passion and grace. Show each one of us how we can produce the fruit of the Spirit for your kingdom. May we remember that there can be no Christianity without the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us seek a sense of unity here at Glenshaw Valley by reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask.
Oh,
Our responsive reading is 649, The Vine and the Branches. 649, The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you, unless you abide in me.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you.
By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments.
These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you.
Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends.
You are my friends, if you do what I command you.
No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
This I command you, that you love one another.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and ask you to submit any prayer requests, and you can peruse the back of your bulletin. There are many names listed. It is also in the Valley Newsletter. And hospitalized, Cheryl's husband, Joe D'Amico, is in Shadyside Hospital. He had neck surgery. Clint Ferrari, you see, he has been moved to New Hope, and there's his address and telephone number. And Lynn Carson's sister has been added. And Don Wagner is now out of the VA at home with his wife, Connie. Art is going to see the doctor, I believe, on the 27th to find out what to do about the pancreatic cancer. So we'll know more about that. Nancy Baker is still at home off of work, and she'll be having two doctor's appointments in April to find out more about her condition. She's still moving very slow, trying to get her energy back up from her heart attack. And then Ron Milburn will be going in for surgery. Do we have a date on that?
No,
sees the doctor Monday. So we'll find out more about that. And everyone else has just continue to pray. And then Pat Manuel sent out an email. She'll be laid out at Bach Funeral Home. And the visitation is today 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. She was one of the former custodians, along with her husband, Joe, years ago. Some of you remember her and came to some of our activities here when we had dinners and different things. You may have seen her, and even some of our luncheons. And then the funeral will be Monday at 11 at Box. And then let's continue to remember Jay and his family, Jim and his family, from the loss of his brother. Anyone else? Okay. Mom fell and broke her right shoulder and probably going to go into a home. And Uncle Ed and Passivant, so they're both over in Passivant. Okay. Anyone else? Sherry?
Don't we just call Anna
Okay. Okay, he is home now, okay. Joe is home now, so that's good. Okay, and also, well, I'm not supposed to say that. Yeah, Muriel. Okay, Bob and her, he's in a wheelchair going to California next week, so prayer for the trip. Anyone else?
Continued prayers for my friend Heidi, who has the bladder cancer. She has a setback and has discontinued radiation treatment at this time.
Okay, for Heidi, who has bladder cancer, and for all us involved with that, had to discontinue her treatment. Anyone else?
Depression.
Okay, for Tammy and Megan, going through a deep depression. So let's be in prayer. That'll be lifted. Anyone else? Let's pray for our meeting after church today, and just for our church in general with all the new teams. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you as your children, looking to the cross, as we really seek to understand more about the cross and the implications for humanity, really trying to grasp hold of the concept that there is no Christianity without the cross. Jesus hanging upon the cross for our sins, and then the cross being empty, showing the resurrection and ascension into heaven, and being seated at the right hand of power and of glory. And we thank you for that. We humble ourselves before you, and we come to you in prayer, for you're the creator of the universe, of this earth, and the giver and sustainer of all life. As we go through trials and tribulations, troubles for ourselves, our family, our friends, we often wonder, how can we make it? How can they make it without you being in their lives? For those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you go to them, that you shake up their lives, that you impress upon them through your Holy Spirit and send people to them, whether it be us or someone else, to help them find Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And all the persons we've lifted up today in prayer, listed in our bulletin and our newsletter, all the persons that we pray for at home, or maybe written down on lists, or we just pray from our mind every day, maybe names that have not been spoken, or personal things that we did not want to say, we come into agreement with one another. As we know you hear our prayers, and we believe also that you answer them. Thank you for being a loving, gracious, kind, and a giving God, a God that loved us so much that you were willing to die for us, that we might have life and life more abundantly, and that we can look for eternal life with you one day in heaven with the saints that have gone before, and then will come after us, and we can live a life of joy and celebration forever and ever. But we need your help on this side of heaven's gate, getting through the difficult periods. And also, we thank you for being able to celebrate the joyous events. Help us to remember to say thank you for all the good times and all the wonderful things that happened to us. Thank you, Lord, for every good thing. And thank you for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
As we forgive our debtors.
our hymn of preparation, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, 376. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You've been so good to us, and we seek to be good back to you and to your church and to your kingdom. So we give from our first fruits. Sometimes when it hurts to give, because we want the kingdom message to go forward. We want people to hear about Jesus and what he has done for the world, that he has brought salvation as a free gift, and he has given us his righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for people who desire to serve in the church and out of the church, to be on teams, to be in the choir, to be treasurers, to be a part of Vacation Bible School, junior church, to weed around the church, to cut grass, to wash windows, to make meals, to be on the luncheons, just everything. I can't mention everything now, but every bit of service, to send cards and telephone calls and give rides and so many things these wonderful people do, Lord. Bless them. Let them feel your love and your generosity as they give for your kingdom. Bless them, Lord. Touch their lives in the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is about an event that took place immediately after Palm Sunday, yet before Easter. Many scholars think it happened on Tuesday. And in preparing for this, one line jumped out at me and spoke to me. It's verse 25, where Jesus said, we need to make a choice. We need to make a choice between following what the world tells us to do and what God tells us to do. We need to make that choice. And then he follows it up with an example from his own life by saying, should I tell God to take what he's asking me to do away from me? He knows that his passion is about to happen. And yet he makes the choice of following God rather than what the world would have him do, which would be to run away. Please listen for God's message for you in John 12, 20 through 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now's the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you again, Bill. How many of you have ever used Betty Crocker cake mix to make a cake? I think probably all of us have. I have. Some have just done scratch maybe, but I think most of us have bought Betty Crocker or another product and thrown a cake together. You know, when Betty Crocker first came out, they began selling their cake mixes and you only mixed with water. All you had to do was add water to the cake mix that came in a box, and you would get a perfect, delicious cake every time. But did you know, no one bought it? It was a total failure. It was a flop. So they commissioned a study and brought back a very surprising result, and they just really couldn't believe it at first. It seemed that people were not buying the cake mix because it was too easy. People wanted to feel like that they had a part to participate in it. They felt like they were being excluded from the making of the cake. They wanted to contribute something to it. So Betty Crocker changed the formula and had people add not only water, but add an egg to the recipe. And then all of a sudden, Betty Crocker took off and people started purchasing Betty Crocker. The new cake mix was a huge, huge success. Everybody knows Betty Crocker. You know, unfortunately, many people make the same mistake when it comes to packaging, which many people try to do today, or presenting religion or their church They try to make the call of Jesus as easy as possible because they're afraid people won't buy it or buy into it if it seems too hard. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But it dies and bears much fruit. Jesus then explained what he meant. He said, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it. It's true, isn't it? If we're going to get anything out of it, we have to invest something in it ourselves. Do you remember the second to the last album by the Beatles? Anybody want to hazard a guess what it was?
Abbey Road.
Abbey Road, exactly. I knew somebody would know it. Abbey Road, many people thought it was their best album of all. The last song in the little musical reprised was called The End. It's the last lyrical statement the Beatles made on the album, and it went, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. I'm going to read that again. And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. I like that. Simple, pure. And the truth of this written, I think, in creation. It is evident for everyone to see. It is found in everything, even as small as a grain of the seed from the wheat. Jesus said that when a grain of wheat falls, it dies. We learn in our text that Jesus is in Jerusalem. It is the feast of the Passover, the week of his death. The town plays host to thousands of pilgrims coming in to see what happens. The streets swell to twice their normal capacity during this Holy Week festival. Among the pilgrims are Gentiles who have converted to Judaism, and they are there because they know that this is the most important event, and there is no more reverent way to worship God during the season than at the temple on Mount Zion in the holy city of Jerusalem. But now they have learned that Jesus has just arrived. They know he is to be viewed by many to be the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that they have waited for and prayed for to come, the new king of Israel. It is no surprise that then that they press upon his disciples a request to speak to Jesus. Some scholars have suggested that these Gentiles are not converts to Judaism, but plants by the Roman government to spy on Jesus. They're assessing the seriousness of his claims to be the Messiah. This may be the case, but I don't really think that's what's going on. I don't really see anything here that suggests that that is what is happening. The scriptures say they went up to follow and to worship at the feast. But either way, Jesus uses the opportunity to announce a shift in his ministry. The hour is at hand. It is time, Jesus said, for the Son of Man to be glorified. It was at this moment when the last sand falls from the hourglass. No time was left to develop new disciples. No time. No time left for miracles to convince the people that he is the Messiah. No time left for debates with the religious leaders. It is time for a change, a new direction. The grain of wheat has left the stalk, making its descent to the soil below. Its death a certainty, and rebirth is about to begin. For the disciples, this is a critical moment. It is the model for them for the rest of their lives, because Jesus is going to be gone, and they must be willing to follow Jesus and serve him as he has done, as he has served them. Whoever serves me, he says, must follow me, and where I am, my servant must also be. Next week is the highlight of Lent. We will relive, along with Christians all over the world, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. It was a critical moment then for the disciples, and is a critical moment now for all of today's disciples. So I ask you, do you intend to follow Jesus? Then will you serve? Do you want the secret to a spiritually alive church? It is in serving He who has served me. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, wrote a rule of conduct. And I really like this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. This is the meaning of the Passion. The crucifixion of Jesus is God's conduct towards us. It is the rule for our conduct towards one another as long as we shall live. And that brings us to the second announcement. When a grain of wheat falls, it bears much fruit. Many of you saw Mr. Holland's Opus, starring Richard Dreyfuss. Mr. Holland dreamed of being a composer, but a new baby in his family caused him to have to reevaluate everything, as that's what life does to us sometimes. So he found a job at a high school teaching, and he would spend his time writing and composing music, which he really loved. But life crashed in on him, and overwhelming duties of teaching the students forced him to choose his dream symphony or his students' education. He couldn't be good at both. He tried to continue his writing, but slowly. The independent composer dies to the teacher. His heart was broken, but he fulfilled his obligations. Out of the death of his dreams came fulfillment of another. He had composed his opus, but not on paper. He composed his opus in the lives of his students. A brilliant symphony composed of individual lives that he encouraged and he nurtured through his teachings, and his life, and his examples, and his care, and compassion, and passion for them. Is this not what Jesus was getting at? When a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it surrenders to new life and bears much fruit? The grain of wheat that dies and bears much fruit is Jesus Christ. This is our third point, and it is the most critical of all the points. Is Jesus simply extolling the virtues of service? No. This is not a secular ethic. It's a Christian value. Jesus said, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." Our Lord is the first object of our service. It is interesting to note also that humble service cannot take place unless He first dies. Sometimes even within the church, we think we're serving the session council or the deacon board or the grounds or whatever it may be. Well, we need to reframe all of it and say, first of all, I am serving my Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm using this venue to do it. I'm using the session to do it. I'm using the deaconate to do it. I'm using being a treasurer to do it. I'm using working the luncheons to do it. I'm using pulling the weeds to do it. I'm using whatever I'm doing, even evangelism. I'm doing it to serve Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Jesus said, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." He must be the first grain from the stalk to fall, otherwise there can be no fruit. John records these words, "But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." His cross comes first, then we are employed, asked, encouraged, empowered to carry our own. We are his workmanship, the first fruits. No one here can truly serve unless he first serves at the foot of the cross. To try to serve without first serving Jesus, you're doing it in your own power, in your own will. You have to sit back for a minute and say, am I serving my Lord Jesus Christ? And it's a shame when churches and Christian movements de-emphasize the cross. And it's something that's happening all over America right now. And to tell you the truth, it breaks my heart. Theologian H. Richard Niebuhr condemns crossless Christianity, whether liberal Protestantism or evangelical feel-good, seeker-sensitive churches which promote it. And with biting sarcasm, he describes such beliefs as a God without wrath, bringing men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a cross of a Christ without a cross. In a word, there is no Christianity without the cross. And churches are being built all over the United States now with no cross in the church. No cross in the windows, no cross on top of the church. They're doing away with the cross because they think it offends people. Yeah, so what? They need to read their Bible. The cross is an offense to people, but it is our salvation. There is no Christianity without the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is indispensable, for in it we learn of God's love, his willingness to take our sins upon himself, and his willingness to place his righteousness upon each and every one of us who will accept it. The Christian author Walter Wangerin has a wonderful story called Matthew 6, 7, 8, and 9 about how he tried to stop his son Matthew from stealing comic books. Most little boys like comic books. I know I did growing up. And he tried to lay the law down to Matthew over several years, and it just failed. Finally, he resorted to something that he just did not like to do. He gave him a spanking. But he was so upset when he did it, he left the room, and he went out, and he cried. He just broke his heart to give his son a spanking. But after pulling himself back together and wiping the tears, he went back into his son's room and he gave him a hug. A number of years later, Matthew and his mother were talking about this and him stealing the comic books and what happened, and said, "You know why I finally stopped stealing the comic books?" Mom said, "Sure. Your dad gave you a spanking." Matthew said, "No. It's because Dad cried." Dad cried. This last week of Jesus' life is called the Passion for a reason. Jesus weeps for the sins of the world, for those who have not found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I think he weeps for the sins that you and I as Christians continue to make. And in his broken body, our lives begin to be made whole. My friends, it's time that we all started serving Jesus at the foot of the cross. Then we will have the strength to serve one another and all the people that we possibly can. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, Glorify Thy Name, 29. A congregational meeting following the service. I hope that you can stay and attend that and vote. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary today, I hope you go thinking about the cross. In two ways, Jesus hanging upon that cross, dying for our sins, but also the empty cross that he had the power to rise from the dead and to ascend into heaven and send us back the Holy Spirit to empower us, to empower his church for good, for service, that we could take his name out into the world and that more and more people could find salvation and eternal life. Go from here in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.